thick skin like Stone Cold with a few beers. Play the game, I end the game, I'm champion, I'm Triple H. Undertaker, I'm the maker, bury the brother like Kane. Ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the chokeslam on face. Ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, tell like I'm Tommaso. If you suck with like tomatoes, I'ma keep a couple muddles. Ooh, and you may call me HBK. When I'm tuning up the frame, you best be getting in my way. Ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it. If you wait, done with that, then I got two words for you, suck it.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. It is good to be with you this week. I hope everyone was had as much fun as you could do, I guess, in the circumstances we're all in at the moment around the country. I know that Adelaide's now locked down for another week. Melbourne's locked down for another week. I know Sydney is still going through their sort of thing. Up here in Brisbane, where we've got the mask mandate at the moment, which we might be coming out of this weekend. Who knows? You never quite know what's going on with this whole deal at the moment. But let's all stay strong. Let's all get in this and go through this together. I hope you maybe got on to fight and watch MCW Winter Warfare. Or of course you've got Riot City Wrestling was on YouTube. Wrestle Rampage is also on YouTube with their new show. Mayhem Pro has a show up on YouTube at the moment. I actually had planned to watch all of these shows this past weekend. Your Rampage, your MCW, your Riot City, your Mayhem. But then I was like, what happens if this thing drags on for a couple of weeks? Then I don't have anything to watch. So I sort of like, I watched Mayhem Pro and I also watched MCW Winter Warfare this weekend. So I got my two shows for the weekend. This weekend, I'm going to watch Wrestle Rampage and also Riot City Wrestling. I'll probably review them both. So if you're on the Wrestle Radio Australia Twitter, you'll see the reviews for those when they go up. But Mayhem Pro was really good for what that was. A lot of the getting out the rookies and trainees from Relentless School and that sort of deal. So that was good to see some young talent getting a chance on those shows. And then MCW was Winter Warfare was just like bookended with two really, really good matches. Caveman Ugg and Adam Brooks to open the show, and then Rocky Monero and Slex to close out the show. Those were two really, really good matches, and I do encourage you to go on to Fight or go on MCW On Demand and get that show to watch, because it was a really, really good show. Royce Chambers against Gore, good match. Mitch Waterman, Edward Dusk, a really good match. Kellyanne and Delta Brady was a really good match. Delta Brady is definitely someone we need to look for or watch for the future, because she has a big future ahead of her. And Kellyanne is a level above on the mic with her promo skills and that. And it's just so good to watch the work that she's doing at the moment at Melbourne City Wrestling. Talking of people that are doing some really good stuff, my guest this week is they're a tag team from up here in Queensland. But they're sort of up the north of Queensland. But they're a reason why there are some episodes that I really love doing of this show, because I love talking to Bonza. I love talking to Rocky Monero. I love talking to David Storm. But I also love talking to young guys that and girls, young wrestlers that I really see a lot. I really see a big future in. And my guests this week, Bro Day, are guys that are exactly like that. Trent O'Day and Gabriel Bro, two really, really good workers. A great tag team that in all my talks with them, all of my like on shows and just like in messages, they're guys that are just thirsty to learn. They're thirsty to get better as a tag team. They're thirsty to just really succeed in the world of professional wrestling, and especially here in Australia. And I love seeing that passion in the younger guys that are coming up. And not only that, but to help with their pro wrestling career, they also started a podcast called Bro Day No Plan B podcast, which is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to a week. It is not a wrestling podcast. They do talk wrestling sometimes, but it is just, it's not a wrestling podcast. It's a comedy podcast, if anything. It's just two guys sitting down, shooting the shit, and it is genuinely a funny show to listen to every week. And it is in my queue to listen to every. There are some shows that when I see pop up on my podcast queue, I'm like, oh, I'll listen to that in a couple of days, or oh, I'll get around to listen to that one. When Bro Days episodes come up, usually on a Sunday or a Monday, I'm like, awesome, I've got something to listen to either going to work or coming home from work, because that's it's a good, it's about 45 minutes, but it's a funny show. They are two really good guys, and it was a pleasure to talk to them. And we're going to do that right after this. What we'll do before we actually go to the interview with Gabriel and Trent is we'll play a quick excerpt from one of their podcasts. And we'll be back after that right here on Wrestle Radio Australia with Bro Day. Good to see you.
I just realised that sounded like I was linking menstruation into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Dang.
You didn't even look at me sideways. You just let it happen. You just let that go.
You're an adult, bro. Say what you want.
You just let that happen to me on a podcast.
I am joined by one of the best tag teams up in North Queensland. Also, actually, one of my favorite podcasts going around today, The Bro Day, Trent O'Day and Gabriel Bro. How are you doing, boys?
Very good, mate. Very good. How are you doing?
Yes. Not too bad at all. I want to ask, because I know it's a hacky question and everyone freaking asks it, and I hate when people ask it on podcasts, but because you're up in North Queensland, How did you find somewhere to train for wrestling? Because even when I lived in Adelaide, I didn't know there was places to train until I stumbled on an ad in Facebook.
Well, I can wholeheartedly say I had nothing to do with finding anything out about how to train or find out there was even wrestling in North Queensland.
Yeah.
It's up to the big fella to tell you the story, because I essentially got dragged to everything when I came back from living overseas. So when I was living, from my side of the story, it was I was living overseas watching Raw at some ridiculous, ungodly time of night. And then I'd talk to the big fella. We'd have a bit of a conversation. And then one day he just goes, "There's wrestling in Townsville." And I was like, "Wow, that's crazy. Must be garbage. Ha ha ha, whatever." And then he's like, "Actually, we saw it at the food trucks. It's really good. Like, we should check it out when you get back." And I was only like a couple of months from coming back anyway.
Yeah, thereabouts. Yeah.
So I was like, "Yep, sure. Why not?" So I came back. We went to QWA's. Was it Ground Zero?
Yes, it was. Yeah, Ground Zero 4.
One of the QWA Ground Zeros. And I was like, that was insane. A lot better than anything I expected to come out of like North Queensland for most things. So straight away, I looked at Gabe and I was like, "No, we got to go. Like, I want to try this out. Like, 100% from wrestling my brother in the backyard, I definitely need to try this out." Went to a tryout and the rest is history. Just went on from there. But your story is a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were like,
I've told 50% of it.
Well, you've told a lot of it. That's pretty much the whole story. I don't know what holes I've got to fill in.
Well, the bit that you didn't want to do it.
Oh, pretty big. Yeah. So it was when we did go to that one QWA show. I remember you were like, "Oi, they're doing tryouts. Do you want to do it?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know, man. I don't think we can. I don't know." And I was like, "I'll go just to make sure that my mate doesn't go on his own." And then that's one session. And here we are three or four years later.
Oh, yeah, on shows. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I sort of dragged him along and he was like, "I'll go to one and then I'll sort of let you go. And then he came for a second one and a third one.
Yeah.
And then before you knew it, he was 2 weeks away from debuting. And I'm like, you're not stopping, are you?
Pretty much, yeah.
Sort of that's almost similar to me, except I went with, you know, Big Brody Marshall. He's a wrestler. He's a wrestler from Adelaide, but he's like built like a brick shit house, chiseled, all this stuff. He's one of my best mates. We went to a trial. He goes, "Oh, yeah, I don't know." He's like, "Oh, I don't know how we're gonna go, mate." And I looked at him like, "How we're going to go? Look at you! I'm fucking built like a I'm built like a melted candle, and you're a fucking chiseled out. I think you'll be fine."
Yeah. So on that, to the similar extent, Trent picked up everything perfectly straight off the bat. All of it was like phenomenally well. Like, yeah, go to bump, flip bump, all of it. Trent hits it first time, and I'm there like fumbling with my feet, and they're like, "Yeah, turn on the inside." And I'm like, "Which way's the inside?" And yeah, I just wasn't as coordinated, so I can relate to you, Toddy.
Yeah, I had the same thing, but when we come to the promos, I just knew how to do promos. And he was like, "Oh, how do you know that? Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you poor thing. You can't talk. Oh, no."
That's where the money is, man. The money's in the promo.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm trying to make it, but I've made no money. So I don't know what's going on. I think that formula's fucked, man. That's quite late. So was it always a plan for you guys to tag up?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. We kind of, I think like when you first start, you get caught away in wanting to be like the singles guy, right? Like as soon as you feel like you're doing well, you get in shows and like we debuted against each other.
Yeah.
So we debuted as singles guys against each other. So we were working together anyway.
Yeah.
So we were doing single stuff and we were feuding against each other and it was fantastic. And we were having a great time bouncing ideas off each other. I was the baby face at the time. He was the heel. We were button heads. It was fantastic. And then after a couple of months of that, and then we sort of went away from each other and we started wrestling other guys and we kind of were just like, man, it'd be so good to tag together.
Yeah.
And then, it just so happened that the guy who runs the company was like, "We really think you guys would be good as a tag team." And we sort of went, "Well, yeah, that's kind of actually what we want to do."
Yeah,
so we got together. And then from there on out, we've just been wanting to get back. Because we were a tag team for a year or so.
Thereabouts a year.
Yeah. And then obviously we had to split. We both went our separate ways and did our own singles thing. But ever since that kind of initial split, we've always had a bit of love for tag team wrestling because we really enjoy just doing everything wrestling, but doing it with our best mate.
Yeah, exactly. Like wrestling's incredible and it's so much better when you're doing it with your best mate. So at every and any opportunity we can now, we just try and get in as much tag team wrestling as we can.
Yeah. And it's difficult because we currently are in Townsville singles guys.
Yeah.
But this is why we've come up with such an elaborate and albeit ridiculous gimmick to try and get ourselves tagging literally wherever we can.
Yeah.
Because we've done our singles thing and we've enjoyed it. But at the end of the day, we're in wrestling to be with our mates. And what better way to be with your mate than travel around and tag with them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so thank God for like Marvel and their multiverse. You could make up the whole wrestling multiverse thing.
Yeah, 100%, man.
Yeah, exactly that.
There's no original ideas in anything anymore, man. I can just rip that bad boy wherever I could take it.
Yeah, 100%.
So how did it go, like, sort of pitching that idea to other people?
How do you mean? Like, pitching the multiverse thing?
Yeah, because they're like, they would see that you guys don't tag up there and you were a tag team and you've done your split and all that. Then you just go, no, but we're in a different multiverse now so we can be a tag team. How do you sort of sell that to someone without going, right?
Okay, so he can tell you about what it's like to have it pitched to him because I had to pitch it to him. So the multiverse thing...
Sell it to me first.
Yeah, well, the multiverse thing was essentially something where Gabe was on the phone to me or messaging me and he's like, "We need to tag again." And I was like, "That's a great idea." except for the fact that we both hate each other and we're singles guys in our main company. But other than that, cracking idea. And he's like, all right, well, we got to come up with like a storyline to get us back together. And then I was sitting there one day and I'd literally just watched like 3 episodes of Rick and Morty back to back. And I was like, man, that multiverse thing is so cool. Imagine if there was like a wrestling mall. Oh my God. And then straight away started writing down all my ideas of like, it could work like this and it could work like this and rah, 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 rah. And then pitched it to him.
Yeah.
Immediately he was like, nah.
Stupidest idea you've ever heard.
It'll never get over. But no, I don't know. It just needed to be sold more for me. But now that you sort of explained it more, and like, I think tone is hard to get across via message. Yeah. So then when we sort of sat down with each other and you were like, it's this, and I reckon we could do this and all these other things. And it's essentially how we're pitching it. It's a blank check to anything we want to be able to do to any company, right? So we can go into any company and say, this is universe number, I don't know,
whatever the postcode is,
and go, that's the universe number we're in, and we can run essentially any gimmick we want, or the company wants as well. So we can run anything.
And the wrestling landscape has changed so much now, like, because it is so story and character based, and because it is a lot, like, wrestling is a little bit more absurd every time you turn it on, right? Orange Cassidy is ridiculous. Malakai Black looks fantastic, but outwardly is a ridiculous human being. Most of the things going on in WWE in one character away is they're more and more outrageous, but people are in on characters. They're in on like story development. And at the end of the day, they've seen all of this stuff in your pop culture, in your Rick and Morty, in your Doctor Strange in the multiverse, like Marvel and all that. So a wrestling multiverse isn't necessarily something that I found anyway would be too much of a stretch for people to understand. Like, if we're from another universe, we're trying to get like, and people understand pretty quickly, oh, the universes are the companies. They're in this company right now. They're trying to get back to this one, which is obviously, we just want to bring the gimmick to Townsville where we can finally run it as, you know,
in our home promotion,
promotion, essentially. But I pitching it to people isn't as difficult as you would think. But in saying that, we have to be careful with how we approach it. We have to be very explicit. Like, we've had to layer it from top to bottom and say, right, well, this is how we're going to address different companies. This is how we need to pitch our gimmick, because some of the old school people who may not know what a multiverse is or whatever, they might just go, well, this gimmick sounds stupid. We're not doing it. So we had to get pretty good at pitching the idea, but we haven't had too much.
No, yeah.
Haven't had too many problems with it, really. Yeah. The first problem, like I said, was the initial sell to this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, because that's how I know one of the guys, you know, Xander Sullivan asked Ugg about the difference between playing heel and face in different promotions. And Ugg was just like, well, I just look at it as like, it's a Marvel universe. Every different promotion is a different universe. They don't necessarily all have to meld together. They don't, unless it's like sister promotions, like say your Nui Pro, and even Nui Pro do it differently. Like Matt Diamond's one of the biggest heels there, and he's a love baby face in PWA. So, I mean, I just... I think if you're telling the story right, it doesn't really matter what the story is, because the crowd will get engaged with it anyway. And most of the people wouldn't know that it's not happening for you guys up in Townsville, that you guys aren't tagging. They wouldn't know that. They just go, oh, it's a tag team from Townsville. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. And then like on our Facebook, it's like pinned to the top of our profile. So if you go on the page and like look at the first video,
it's like an explanation
video.
Just,
it's exposition of the whole gimmick. And this is what it is.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So it doesn't take too long for people to figure out, oh, okay, I get it. They're sci-fi guys. That's essentially what we get labeled as. We're the sci-fi guys. And we're like, cool, that's fine. If that's what you want to take from that, take that from it.
Yeah, and wrestling fans are all, like, they're similar to Star Wars fans. If they're interested, they'll go digging. They'll try and find out all the little loopholes. And then we've tried to essentially lay it out as easily as possible to where it's like, yep, you go and look for it. Oh, there it is. That's their story. That's what's going on. That's where they're at.
Yeah, pretty much. gimmicks as layered as people want it to be.
Well, yeah. And then you've recently started up your podcast. What made you decide to do a podcast? Because basically, it's, welcome to the last 9 years of my life.
No, well, I mean, it's a mix of it's wrestling. Everyone's got an ego, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has to think that they're good at what they're doing. Otherwise, you're not going to put yourself in the public eye. And we figured, you know what, let's just record us hanging out and just chatting away. And then, I don't know, people seem to enjoy it. People seem to like it. It's that background noise that people like to have on whenever they're doing something throughout the day. And if they still focus on it, we'd want to hope anyway that it's still entertaining for them. So, I mean, it's wrestling. We're all entertainers. So you just want to put out entertaining content for people to consume, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, like at the same time, like I think a reason is like, I mean, we did a few online seminars with the EPW boys the last couple of years. And one of the biggest things I took from that was like, you should always be trying to better the business of wrestling, right? Like as a general whole, like that's what you should be working towards, bettering the business of wrestling. Personally, we are trying to do our utmost to get eyes on Australian wrestling. And one way that we can do that is by attempting to be entertaining. And people have told us that they really enjoy the podcast. They enjoy listening to us. And therefore that has made them want to look into our stuff a little bit more. So in a weird chain reaction kind of way, us going as 100% as we possibly can into anything wrestling based or whatever has gotten eyes on us, which has therefore gotten eyes on our company, which has therefore just gotten eyes on wrestling. And therefore we feel like, or at least I do anyway, that we're doing our bit for the wrestling business.
Yeah.
So if that means that we do a ridiculous podcast and talk about wrestling for 5 minutes at the end and plug as many dudes as we possibly can,
just put the boys over,
then that's what we have to do, right? Like, but at least then I don't feel like we're half-assing it, because the worst thing that I hate having my name to is anything half-assed. And I'm pretty sure you're the same.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure anyone who's worth their salt is the same. You don't want anything half-assed to have your name on it.
Sorry about being on the show then, boys. The one thing I actually did like when I first saw that you guys were doing a podcast, I was like, fuck, another wrestling podcast. Do you know what I mean? And then because the first thing I thought was like, you guys are up in North Queensland, which is cool, but like how many dudes are you gonna like say interview if you had them? Because not a hell of a lot of you up there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I was like, I just don't know how it's gonna work. Like I think I messaged you guys, if you need any help, blah, blah, blah. So I think, but in my head, I'm just
I appreciate that.
In my head, I was just like, I hope it doesn't suck. But then,
we
were the same thing, mate. We were just like, man, this better not be crap. Oh, come on.
but then after I listened to it and I saw how different sort of a show was, I messaged you guys. I was like, I'm actually jealous of this show. This is the kind of show that I would have liked to have done if I had the chance to. But
really appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you were one of the first ones to put us over as well. Like, so we were really appreciative. Like, we didn't really expect anyone to listen to it except for us and our mums.
Yeah, that's it. And maybe our dads, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
As a passing, what did you say? What made you come up with sort of like the is it like a sort of you listen to like a Hamish and Andy or some sort of stuff and you thought, oh, we could do that. We bullshit around at home enough that we could probably like pull that off as well.
Pretty much, man. Yeah. Like that's
essentially what it was. Cause it's like in this day and age, everyone's listening to podcasts. Everyone's got something on, like you've always got that audio stimulation there. And there was like, Hamish and Andy. And I was like, you know, they're pretty funny. And there was like other ones that I've listened to. And I'm
the
like,
Freddy podcast, FRDI is the one that I listen to. Like two lads over in the States essentially just chat crap about like, would you rather questions for like however long. And I'm like, that's essentially what we do here anyway. Yeah. Like if you're behind closed doors, like without any microphones, we're exactly the same our conversations are exactly the same. Yeah, it's mostly just ridiculous bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But
we really, like, we have a great time. So
we,
like,
we just record it, put it out there and see if people enjoy it. And here we are.
Yeah, and if they don't, that's sick. Well, at least we had a great time.
Yeah, exactly. That's something to look back on in the future.
Yeah.
It's like when you come up, when you've got all the your segments and stuff, I'm like, oh, that's a lot more planning than I do. So much more
planning. In fairness, like, there's a lot of planning that Trent does. I just sort of go out there and go, all right, what can I do? I just need to get anything from anywhere else. Just rip things from everyone else. I've got my one recurring segment where I'm like, sweet, that's one part done. And then the rest, I just sort of like call on the fly, I guess.
And meanwhile, I, hey Siri, what are podcast questions on the way?
But no, I, like I said, I really enjoy it. I am a bread bro, so sorry, bro.
Hey, yes.
I'm so angry at how many people are choosing. I honestly thought bread would be the underdog
same,
in this.
Same. I did think that as well. But, you know, hey, man, it's a staple.
It's the versatility.
It's the what?
The versatility of bread. There's so many different things you can do to bread. What are you going to do to cheese? Like melt it, grate it? That's your done.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
Thank you. Exactly.
There's that's cheese the... boards, dude. Like, are you serious? The versatility of cheese? It goes on literally everything.
It goes on wood, well. Mate.
Cheese board.
Yeah, like, it goes on
board
wood.
Of cheese. It goes on wood. It goes on wood.
Dude, cheese is on everything. Burgers. Nah, you know what?
Yeah.
That's
okay,
it.
Yeah,
no, we're getting on the pod and I'm just going to yell at him for half an hour.
No, you're right. No, you are right. You are right. Cheese are on burgers. What's the staple part of a burger? Is it the bun? Oops.
Thank you very much.
Bread enhances...
Checkmate.
People are always finding a way to make bread more interesting. Just chuck seeds in it. Just make burger thin. They were trying to take the bread away from bread.
Oh, okay.
Cheese is always the same.
No, how
people always go extra cheese. They never go extra bread, thanks.
How good is this cheese? Oh, it's got mold on it. That's how good it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
People still eat it. No one's eating moldy bread.
Oh,
I'm saying.
Look, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Look, man. The numbers will show for themselves at the end of the year when we do our poll. All right. Yeah, people will know.
It'll be Toddy just with 7 burner accounts. Smash the bread button.
But like, why is everyone's first name Toddy? What the fuck's this about? Not even inventive
user
enough to make
1078482.
Yeah, that's it. Toddy 01, Toddy 02, Toddy 03.
Oh, dear. So, with this is really sort of because of COVID and shit, it's probably cramped your style when it's come to like you wanting to get out as a tag team. So, how much has it affected you guys? Because I know you've come down to like Brisbane, you've worked Venom a few times, but aside from that, is that mainly the only time you guys get to tag at the moment?
Yeah, it's hard to multiverse travel when travel is restricted.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. We're just trying to link into a universe where there's no COVID, yeah, but we've yet to find that one just yet. But we've the plan was to eventually try and work our way down the coast. And I guess we had a couple ones lined up because of COVID, it sort of cut the border essentially that we couldn't leave the state. To head down south, but if it's down south or out west, like we are obviously open to it. We are trying to get our names out there to try and wrestle as much as possible as a tag team. But at this stage, without saying anything that's not been announced or confirmed, but we've just been essentially to like Venom.
We've been very now. Queensland restricted.
Yeah,
essentially is the way we'd put it. Like I know that we wanted to go. We wanted to go to companies just to train.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's what, like how desperate we were just to get out. Like it, to the point where like we didn't even care if we were on shows. Like we just want to go places to train. We just want to get better, meet new people, be around different companies. Like it got to the point where we didn't even care if we were wrestling. We just wanted to train. And COVID just shut down pretty well everything that we wanted to do. So to answer your question bluntly, COVID has been garbage for what we've been trying to do. But at the same time, like we're doing the best we can. I think we've got maybe like one or two bookings coming up where we can sort of hopefully have a bit more of a a tag between us.
Yeah,
but at the moment, yeah, it's all pretty much shut down.
Yeah, because being that you don't wrestle as a tag up there, that would be your only chance to really tag up, wouldn't it? Is when you come down other places.
Pretty well, yeah. And CQWA is the only other company around.
In Rocky, or QWAR, sorry.
So that's pretty much it. Our sister company, and then obviously like Venom, like we love the Venom boys and when they can have us down, but their roster's stacked as well. Like they've got a massive roster of people that they got to try and fit on there. And, you know, as much as I'm sure we'd love to get down there, sometimes bookings or whatever just don't work out. So it's one of those things where we just got to keep knocking on doors essentially until and if and when this whole thing blows over. Of course it never will, but it'll be hopefully easing in the future, but we just need to keep knocking on doors.
I mean, it'll break for you guys because you're persistent and you're organized, and that's half the battle, is actually having a plan and trying to execute that plan rather than going, oh, I'm just going to wait for them to call me, because they just won't. People won't call you. I think I had that talk this is ages ago with Xander. So he's like, oh, why is this guy always getting booking? He said, well, are you asking? So, no. So what do you think that guy maybe exactly. is?
That's it. You got to put yourselves out there.
Yeah. So, one thing I do love, and although you you warn people off it every episode you do of the podcast, is when you do your wrestling. we were talking off air about this. They go, if you listen to the podcast, Trent goes for like a 5-minute preamble about this is the wrestling part. So if you don't want to listen to it, turn off. So is it, and I've noticed that mainly when it is someone has a gripe, it's you, Gabriel. So are you the one that sort of like gets more salty? Are you the one that sort of gets more salty about things?
I think you've got a, like, I think every wrestler's, you've got like a bar of where you're either super Jim Cornette or you're like, or super all the other way to like, I don't know, what's a really, really like...
Cody Rhodes about it.
Oh, not so much Cody, but you're like super...
Kenny Omega.
Super new school. Yeah, Kenny. There you go. Yeah, you've got Kenny. Yeah, you're Jim Cornette and you're Kenny. And I'm learning now anyway. You
beat the door down to Jim Cornette.
Yeah, I am leaning more. I am more Jim Cornette. I am alt Jim Cornette, I guess. So that's my political wrestling view. But, I mean, it's more, I think... It comes from me personally, because I'm not as athletically gifted as many others. I try and push more towards the less is more. Like, the less you do, the better. Work the crowd, get the crowd in. Perfect. I mean, my finisher is a middle rope axe handle. Like, so now I can't go up to the top or up on the rope, top rope, unless I'm hitting my finisher. And I'm like, that's easy money. Perfect. That's, yeah, exactly. Low risk, but high reward.
Yeah, well, you guys saw
my
match.
Yeah,
you
my couple gripes.
You saw the one match I had, and you know I do
the clothesline from
less is more, man. That's it.
And like, I fought him on that.
Yeah, I think that's where it stems from.
He's like,
I fought him on that.
He goes, why don't you clothesline me? So, can't I just grab your leg as you try to get in the ring? No, clothesline me. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, man, less is more. But yeah, that's where my whole my grapple gripes comes from, I guess, maybe.
Well, plus he's got alliteration with G and G.
Yeah, like, it's easy.
My wrestling gripe thing doesn't work. No, Trent's wrestling gripes doesn't work. I just let him get furious about it.
Trent's troubles, like, maybe, but not really.
Doesn't work.
Well, that's back in the day when I used to have Josh as my co-host. He was just like, because I always used to go off sort of like you, just on rants, just to him and I. And he's like, why don't you do this as a segment? You know, like when Jim Cornette used to do it on Raw. I was like, yeah, but I don't know. He goes, you call it Views from the East. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Well, now I have to. You've made a name.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Yeah, he's named it. You're attached to it now. Yeah. You have to nurture it.
The Beast's Views from the East. The Views from the Beast. Something like that.
Like the same, you're going off... the other episode, you were talking about promos and that sort of thing. How that
yep.
You needed to tell. And the only thing I would have said back to you there is like, well, you don't know what the promoter asked him to do. If the promoter had said...
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, at the end of the day, like, if you're doing whatever you can for...
With what direction you're given.
Like, yeah. If you're told, cut this promo in this way, then obviously don't listen to a word that we've just said because you're being told by the person that's probably about to pay you.
Yeah.
Definitely do what they just said.
Probably.
But if you're given free rein on a promo to put over yourself or your opponent and you haven't got any restrictions, we can't fathom, and like this is what Gabe said, but I'll say it again. I can't fathom why you're putting in minimal effort. Like, I can't understand those people that have free rein on putting yourself over, putting the boys over, putting over your opponent, making yourself a draw. And so you get your iPhone 4 out because you haven't cashed in for your new phone in 6 years, and you sat there in your car like this with, you know, stuff going on in the back. Like, why? Who cares? Like, can you at least look the part? At least go and stand in front of a white background to at least give yourself an air of professionalism. And that's the bit we can't stand. It's like the gimmick is professional wrestling. If you could at least act the part, if not for your sake, then for your company's sake. If you're not for your company's sake, for your opponent's sake, not for your opponent's sake, for wrestling's sake. If you could at least put some effort in, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
But you get things like, well, I know I get them a lot. It's like, oh, can you do a promo for us? Oh, yeah, what do you need? Oh, you'll work it out. It'll be fine. I trust you. I'm like, but what do you need? What do you want? What were you? You're not going to like what I say.
Yeah,
I'm going to rip it in the company.
Yeah, that's it, man. Like, it's like with direction, it does help a lot, man. I'm 100% with you. Sometimes when you just get told, just sort of go out there and just say whatever or just do whatever, and you're like, oh no, I need more. Like, give me at least some direction to be like, at the end of the day, all right, get your who, what, where, when, why, or whatever. Like,
yeah, we did at least two. Give us a KPI. Like, if we're a new company and need something, at least tell us what you want.
Yeah.
Like, tell us one thing that you want, and then that's it. We can build off that.
I know I did two promos in two different companies back to back that were like that. And I ripped into the company for about a minute before I did the actual promo, like on the mic. And like, it was a point where Mitch walked past me going, why am I always in here with you when you do this? I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, I remember like when I first started, I remember looking back on them now, and I remember looking at my promos of like the same thing, filmed just terribly. And I'm
super cringe.
Super like cringe. Looking back at them and being like, who let you out there?
Yeah.
Who was responsible for you? You had no reins. You were an unhinged animal out there. Like, they're so terrible. And then
some of the old ones had like bland nothing cadence where you're just talking and I'm going up against my opponent on this date and I'm going to fight you and I'm going to beat you because you're crap. And you're like, man, I don't care. I don't, like, as a viewer, you're like, I don't care about this because you don't care.
Yeah.
I think that's the main gripe is that you sit there and you get your phone out and you can talk to it and you can talk to whoever it is and you can absolutely cut sick and get passionate and all of that as long as you care, because people aren't dumb. They know. They can feel it. They can feel your energy. If you're into it and you are passionate about what you're saying, they'll radiate that energy with you. And then straight away, you've got a hook before your match even starts.
That is one thing I like. I'd like to think that every time you see me cut a promo, you think that I at least believe what I'm saying when I do it. Because I'll put myself...
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly all it is, man. You need to... It's exactly that.
Yeah, because I think I put one up yesterday or the day before from like 2 years ago. It was like Jake and I did one before.
That was really good. Yeah. Actually, I watched that.
And that's legit one of my favorite ones I've done. And I was like, as soon as I watched it, and as I watched it, I got that feeling. I'm like, oh, I miss doing those promos. Well, you had that. You've got that feeling.
Fire, you can feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the same because we did another one not long ago for when we did the R18 show for Venom.
Yes, that one was sick as well. That one was really cool.
Yeah, I did one with on Brooksy and that. And that was, yeah. But it's like you need that. I'm a big believer in that, like, because I've done both. I've done performing and I've also done, like, the booking side. I believe that, like, the booker should be like, well, this is where we want to go with your program. This is where you are. So at least I've got something I can, like, give me something to work with and I'll give you a promo.
Yep.
Like, I'll give you something that I can pretend I believe enough to try and sell it to the crowd. If you give me something that I like, there's no plausible way I could believe this. Like, me going out this, like saying, oh, look, mate, I could whoop your ass. Blah, blah, blah. I don't plausibly believe that. There's no fucking way anyone's going to believe me going out there and kicking someone's ass. Yeah.
Exactly. That's, well, I mean, like, it's the believability. Like, if you can't sell it to yourself, how are you going to sell it to someone else? So you need that little hint of truth, that little hint of yourself where you're like, it's like what The Rock says, right? It's yourself turned up to 11, right? Yeah. So you need that little bit of yourself that is legitimate and you just crank that right up and you get that fire. And
that links exactly into literally the podcast that just come out like today at time of recording. Like, I go on a massive rant about talking about writing checks that your character can't cash. Like, if you're going to sit there and you're going to say, we are the, like, I talk you about sound a story off
again.
I talk about a story where I heard some wrestlers, like a tag team, talk about whatever, and they said, we are the best tag team in the world. And straight away I dropped everything I was doing. I was like, no, you're not. No, you're not. And now I don't care about anything you have to say because you're definitely not. Where's your E contract? Where's your AEW contract? You're not anywhere close to being the best in the world. And there's no way that you could feasibly believe that. There is no way that in your day-to-day life, if someone asks you who is the best tag team in the world,
you're going to say us, me.
You would put your hand up and go, yeah, I'm part of one. I'm one half of it. No, absolutely not. There's got to be believability in everything you do. We are wrestling multiverse guys, and I still reckon that if we cut a promo, we could find an air of believability somewhere if we had an inkling of what the company needed from us, right? Because that's what we've been taught to do. But if you write a check that your character can't cash, you instantly lose pretty much all respect and credibility.
Mm. I'm a big one for saying, like, when a babyface will go out there and be like, I'm going to beat you. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, you're not booked to beat him. Don't promise people you're going to beat him. Like, just go, I'm going to go out there. Yeah. I'm going to give you the fight of my life and blah, blah. Because otherwise you're just, and it's the same thing with, like, same thing. I've probably said it a million times on the show. I never go out and run down the opponent. I never run the opponent down because at the end of the day, if I say, look, you are shit, you couldn't lock up. You wouldn't know a lock up from a wristwatch. But what are you going to do? And then he beats my guy. What does that make my guy?
Exactly.
Dude that couldn't.
And then on the flip side, if your guy beats him, people are going to be like, well, who cares? You called him crap, so he should have beat him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's why, like, I usually will spend, like, as a formula, I usually would spend the first, like, 20 seconds building up this guy that we're about to face. Like, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this. And none of that matters because you're going to step in the ring with someone who is better than you. Top to bottom.
And that's the best way to do it. Heel or face. Yeah, heel or face. You build them up. You go, this is what you've done. I understand this. Rah, rah, rah. List facts and then list what you'd like to happen. Essentially, just say, this is what you have done. And now this is what's going to happen to you, hopefully, like in that kind of way.
Yeah, yeah. So you're well versed in, I suppose, is it the fact now that you're comfortable doing the promos that led you to do the podcast? Like, I'm comfortable talking in front of a microphone. I might as well do this as well.
Cracking question. That never really crossed my mind.
One an episode. That's all you get.
I never thought of that, but that's a really good point. Possibly, I guess so. The fact that, I don't know if they're good promos. You want to hope they're good promos, but Yeah, maybe that does lead
to... He does all the editing, so if they're crap promos, they're, it's, on, it's me. On him.
Yeah, that's it. I don't mention enough, though. I'll do all the editing.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I never used the...
My 9-to-5 is teaching, so I do drama teaching. So I guess I've always been around performance.
Yeah, if you do drama teaching, like, any shit promo,
like I said, it's led... Yeah, right. So mine's led by arrogance all the time. Any chance to get my head anywhere where it's seen by someone else.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, and for me, it's just been, I don't know what to say, man. Yeah, bro, same. Yep. No, I'll back you in. I'm super arrogant as well. Just get my name and get my face out there. But
it does help being confident in front of a microphone, though. Yeah, like we've cut enough promos and sort of listened to ourselves, I'm sure, cut promos in the mirror and in the shower enough
and then be like, yo, that was so cool, that was so good, rah, rah, yeah,
where rah. You've seen enough, you've heard enough of that, where we kind of go, all right, well, we're comfortable now, where we can sort of carry, we would hope we could carry a conversation between each other and make it entertaining.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever had a thing where, like, your partner's gone to see you wrestle or whatever, and you've been a heel, and then you've come back home and they're sort of like, that when you were that saying that stuff, is that what you're really like, or is it sort of like this? Because I know when my wife and I were dating, and she saw me on a show, and it was probably a bad show for her to come to, because she came to a show where we attacked the general manager's son and pile drove him, and made it so like the general manager couldn't get in the ring to get us, and I was just stirring him up to the point where like the crowd were getting ready to throw shit at us.
Yo.
And then we left, and like she was just like,
"Dude,
is that what you're really like?" I'm like, "It's a part of me, like a part of me, like I'm definitely a shit stirrer." Definitely. You guys on those?
They're like, "Yeah, look, if there's someone that's annoying me, I'm a pole drive his son." Like,
but like,
it is what it is. Yeah. All right. You guys push the wrong buttons.
You guys will know from seeing me backstage, I will shit stir someone if I get a chance. Just have a bit of fun.
I respect it.
So I remember like the whole, it was like, it was, go on.
Oh, I was going to say, so not my partner. My partner has been in on the gimmick from day one. However, my mum... when I first did it, and I was wrestling him.
Yep,
great mates. Like, we were best mates, whatever.
But because your family is 4 hours away, like out of town, right? They're all from Mackay, and we're up in Townsville. There wasn't any crossover. Like, I never properly met
Had never like crossed paths. Nothing. So I call my mum, and obviously she'd seen a couple of matches. I think it was before our big blow-off match.
No, she was there for the debut.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but so her first interaction
with Gabe was
heel Gabe, smarmy wog, hey bro, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That, right? Then no interaction. And then we wrestled 3 more times. And before the last big blow-off blood match, whatever it was, I quit match. I call my mom. I go, hey, I'm about to wrestle tomorrow. She's like, yep, that's awesome. Hope you have a great time. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, how's Gabe? I'm like, yeah, he's good. Like, and because we live together. I'm like, yeah, he's really good. We're about to have a great time, whatever. And she's like, yeah, okay, listen, I hope you have a good time, but can you just kick his face in for me?
I've had it where I had to meet one of the commentator's daughters, because she was scared of me. He was just like, oh, can I bring her backstage just so you can say hi to her and not be, because like she's scared of you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyone knows me, anyone that knows me in real life knows I'm not anything like that. Like Todd Eastman as a wrestler, as a manager, it's completely 180 degree different to what I'm like outside of the ring, because it's basically all, every boss I hated, every person that I think is an arrogant prick, every like everything I wish I could just say,
channel it all,
but I was never allowed to say because I was brought up better than that sort of thing.
Yes, 100%. Definitely. 100%.
Yeah, man. A lot of my like friends outside of wrestling that rocked up to my first couple matches when I was wrestling heel were like, man, I don't like it. I don't like seeing them all boo you and everything. And I'm like, no, man, that's part of it. Like, I'd rather you boo me. He's like, bro, I just don't like it. You come out and I'm like, yeah, go Gabe. And I'm like, bro, you're like you're a minority here. He was like, no, man, I don't care, man. I'm still back here and all this.
Because Gabe's just not the same. Like, away from wrestling to what he is in wrestling as a heel.
Oh, yeah, turn it up, man.
Just
yeah,
not, turn not it up. The same. Turn completely yeah, different dudes. So my mum's sitting there being like, I hate this guy. Like, I want you to kick his head in for me. And I'm like, oh, he's a really good mate of mine. Like, we don't actually hate each other. Like, you know this, right? Like, we're okay. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, he's just and I'm like.
It did take a bit of a while to get Mrs. O'Day on the Gabe train.
Yeah,
but...
it took a little while, but eventually she knows it's all a work now. Yeah. So she's all right. She's fine.
I had that with, you know, Ed at Venom, the first aid guy. He's, he was like that. He goes, I love Todd backstage. I love Todd the podcast. I hate Todd Eastman. I'm like, good. You're supposed to.
You're like, good. Exactly. Perfect. That's it. Yeah. Job done.
To the point where when we had that match and that's awesome. I was trying to sell that I had a fucked up knee, he wasn't going to come over and check me. And I was legitimately going, no, Ed. Nah.
Help, please, brother.
Nah, not doing it.
That's class.
So how do you guys work? What because you mentioned you're a bit cornetty when it comes to that sort of your views on wrestling. Do you watch guys like Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, that sort of era, or are you more like the modernish wrestlers when you come to what you pattern your tag team sort of work on?
So for me personally, I do dabble in those, like the older style wrestling as well. But a really good throwback that I do like is your FTRs. They've got a good mix of that old school, but it still works for today. And Grizzled Young Veterans, I think at NXT UK, they're really good as well. But yeah, man, just as much wrestling as I can consume, like on any platform, you just sort of take it, and like with anything, it's all interpretive, right? You just you pick the meat and leave the bones with whatever it is that you personally enjoy to watch, and hopefully odds are that someone else out there has a similar taste to you, so that you can go, sweet, that's a fan, and away we go.
Yeah, I'm sort of a little different with, I always used to be like, oh, I only watch modern wrestling to keep up with the times. And like, I'll be the first to admit, I don't watch a great deal of wrestling anyway. I normally watch a lot more Australian wrestling now.
Yeah.
If I can, like all the PWA shows, like any EPW stuff that comes out, like anytime Venom or QWA put out our matches, I go through
RC Dub on YouTube as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like go straight through them. But what I've taken to recently as a part of like a challenge that I used to do on TikTok is just to waste time, was I would just pick a random wrestling match anywhere I could find it. I would have no context to the match. I'd have no context to what it was. Chuck it on and be like, okay, invest me in whatever is going on right now. And without having seen a video package and stuff, I'd pick out little things like, oh, that was cool. I actually like, you know, those moments that get you to bite a little bit. You're like, oh, and you're like, oh, okay, that was cool. That got a genuine reaction from me. How did that happen? So I tend to go through and watch wrestling a little bit more like that now. So if I'm picking a tag team match, I'll just Google or YouTube tag team and then see what comes up and then scroll through, pick a decent looking quality match, click on that and just go, okay, invest me. And then see what happens. And then I, same as Gabe said, take the meat, leave the bones.
Yeah, I possibly wouldn't Google tag team. You know, I come up with terribly different videos.
I've made that mistake once more, mate.
Yeah, because I still think like one of the best tag team matches that I've seen that doesn't get a hell of a lot of like recognition was, I think it was Rockers, Orient Express, Royal Rumble 91, I think, or something like that. One of the it was like the opening to the show. And like that still sticks in my mind is what I think of when I think of a great opening match. Because they work, they work as a team.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I miss from tag team wrestling period is people doing tag work. I'm talking like tag, mm-hmm. they do their like double team move, get out of the ring. It doesn't ever seem to be like a hell. There's not a lot of teams now that do it. Even the teams like the Bucks do their thing, but they rarely ever do it like legally. It's always like if they were held.
Oh, that's another one, man. Yep, that's another one of my like gripes with wrestling is the running the clock for ages and ages. Like, bro, respect the ref, give him some authority. Like, it's a 5 count, and he stood there for bloody 40 seconds, being like, "That's 4, mate. Can you get out? Like, what? Like, give him a chance to work as a ref."
Yeah,
but yeah, man, I fully agree with that as well.
See, that's like, why
that's the whole gimmick, isn't it? It's tag wrestling.
Yeah, that's why guys like FTR, because they respect that sort of thing. Motor City Machine Guns, when they're in TNA, they're unbelievable. Yes, that's why I loved them so much.
They were so good. Yeah, man, I love Motor City Machine Guns in TNA. Oh my god, that was they're huge. They're great.
Yeah, because they reminded me of Rockers, Rougeaus, Hart Foundation. Mm-hmm. They all had those double team moves that they could do in 5 seconds and get out. Like if you can't do it in five seconds, I think I said it to, I can't remember who it was. It was one of the tag teams that we were working with up here. They were going through these tag team spots. Like if you can't do it in 5 seconds, don't do it. Oh, but it looks cool. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't if it doesn't fit, don't do it.
Makes sense.
I don't know. Like,
yep.
How hard is it?
That's the thing that we're trying to bring in as well. Yeah, 100%. And that's what we're trying to bring back is like, we're up in Townsville. There are no tag teams there. Like, and that's all we want to do is tag. And then we go down to, you know, we want to go down to Venom. We want to be, there's El Cartel there. And there was, who's the other one that I'm thinking of? Who did we tag against?
Hyde and Tequila.
And like, you know, they want tag team wrestling down there, but as far as tag team wrestlers, like how many tag teams are there in the state?
Yeah.
How many are there? Like
proper recognized tag teams. There's not that many.
No, when we had AWL or PWL, I know we had a lot because I made a lot. I made like a fair amount of tag teams because
there you go.
I'm a tag team guy. So I'm like, we need a tag team division. A, it eats up guys.
Yep.
So we don't have to worry about like, oh, he's going to have to miss because we just don't have a match for him. It eats. And a lot of times the way you picture the guys, they're like, oh, I don't want to be a tag team wrestler. I want to be a singles rep. Well, that's cool. I just don't know if I can find a spot for you. I have plenty of spots for guys for tag teams because
there you go.
That's up to you if you want to keep doing it.
Yeah. Like, and work-wise tag team wrestling, it's half the energy expenditure, but then it's double the excitement because you've always got a fresh guy in there and you're just always, always on. I don't know. This is just me, but I don't see how people don't enjoy it. It's so much fun.
And like the way that we get to work together and like, there's always another dude in there. And I don't know, working a tag team is easy. You can call the moves to the other guy.
Yeah, and it works right fine. There. Yeah.
Wait, what are we doing? Double suplex?
Double suplex. Cool. Away you go.
Oh, you shouldn't talk in the ring. He's my teammate. We need to talk to each other to know what's going on.
Exactly.
It's so easy. You're in. You get 5 seconds off when you're waiting for a tag. So you get to gas back up, go back in, start cleaning house again. Like everything in a tag team is so much more fun. You get matching gear. You know, you get double the gimmicks, double entrances together. Yeah. You're having a great time.
Yeah, like, and if you're working the crowd and they're not working, you've got your tag.
You've got your tag mates.
He'll put you over, and you'll put him over, and away you go. That's it.
I've never understood why tag team wrestling isn't big, and I honestly think Queensland needs more of them. So we saw that there was a bit of a hole in tag wrestling, and we're happy to be like, we'll jump in. We're easy to take a tag team spot. We don't want your big singles titles. Like, let us go in and chuck a tag match together.
That's one of my favorite things as a kid was you'd watch the Rougeau brothers and they would talk to each other in French out loud. And the whole gimmick was the commentators like, well, they can tell each other what's going on because no one can understand French. So they can literally say what they're going to do next and no one knows. It's a great advantage that the team has. And like, as a kid, you're like, oh, those dirty bastards. look, mate, I've had a great time having a chat with you. Get out all your plugs and all of that stuff. I highly recommend if you'd like to have a good listen for, I think they only go for what, 40 minutes, an hour, the shows?
Yeah, 40 minutes to an hour, thereabouts. Yeah, we try and...
40 minutes before I start kicking people off the podcast to listen to the wrestling shit.
So it's a 45-minute show.
Yeah, 45 minutes, thereabouts.
Yeah. But it is a fun... It is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to now, to be perfectly honest.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
It's all right. You have your normal ones that you listen to. Like for me, I listen to all the JRs and the Cornette ones and all of that sort of stuff. There's only a few ones that I listen to that aren't like wrestling related, that are more sort of like a comedy. If there's like a scale of like from wrestling to comedy, you guys sort of like break that middle part for me to when I start listening to the comedy, the comedy ones as well.
Perfect. Cool.
I highly recommend. Boys, put all your plugs out there so they can get onto to the show I'm talking about and how they can follow you and what you guys are doing in the ring.
100%. So as a tag team, everyone can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. It is at Broday Tag Team. If they want to follow myself, Gabriel, I am at The Real Gabe Bro on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And I am on all of the same things, but I am at O'Day QWA.
Awesome. Once again, thank you so much for coming on the show, boys. And, bread bro for life and all of that. And I'll catch you boys when next time you're down in Venom.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. We'll thanks very much for having us. Thanks, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks to Gabriel and Trent for coming on the show. Like I said at the start of the show, these two guys are two young up-and-coming tag team wrestlers. Not only just tag team wrestlers, just wrestlers, good wrestlers in their own right, singles, tag team, whatever, two really good workers that are just looking to learn and looking to get better. And they have all the promise in the world to be a very, very good tag team on the Australian scene. I just hope they get the chance to do that over the next 12 to 18 months, because they are not only are they really nice guys, they are a good tag team to watch. They're a smart tag team. They are always looking to learn. And I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a massive fan of their work. So all the best to them. And thank you so much for coming on. Please do go and check out their podcast. Like I said at the start of the show, it is one of my favorite shows to listen to every week. You want 45 minutes where you can just listen and have a good laugh, and this is definitely a show that you will love. But for our show, if you haven't already, though, make sure you subscribe to us. You can do it on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast from, we're there. If you go on YouTube, hit the subscribe and hit the notifications thing. Hit a like on the episode so people can see that the likes are going up, and then maybe they'll check out the show as well and learn more about professional wrestling in this country. If you go by Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review. Pushes us up in the algorithm so more people can find the show and hopefully learn a bit about Australian professional wrestling like we try to do every week here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Search us out on, if you haven't already though, Facebook, Wrestle Radio Australia. We're there on Twitter and Instagram at Wrestle Radio AU, and me personally on Twitter at Peace Eastman for old man wrestling takes. Wrestle Radio Australia, the Wrestle Radio AU on Insta and Twitter is where I normally put up our reviews of shows. So if you want to know what a local show is like that you've that's on like YouTube or Fight or something like that, 9 times out of 10, I've watched it and I've reviewed it, and it'll be up there on the Twitter or the Instagram. So go and check that out. Please support the local industry as much as you can, especially in these times, because we're all locked down. These guys can't have shows, therefore they can't, you know what I'm saying. If you want to support the wrestlers themselves, go to Wrestler Merch. It's probably the best way to do it. The shirt's up there. So you can buy a shirt, rep your favorite wrestler, and help them out at the same time. Some great shirts on there. So go and check that out. A lot of them now, the wrestlers around the country have gotten on to the whole wrestler merch gear and doing great things. So big ups to those guys for doing what they can for Australian wrestling. Like I say every week, they're not a sponsor. I'm just putting it out there. Go and support them because they help support Australian wrestling, and it's something that we love. The new designs for the Wrestle Radio Australia logo that you see on the screen, I don't know if it's on the screen now, if I'm too lazy to put it up, but they are on redbubble.com. If you want to buy a shirt with that on it, all the proceeds from that go to Beyond Blue and Gotch for Life. Beyond Gotch for Life is there. There's Gotcha for Life. So charity that we support here at Wrestle Radio.